If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The desert sun scorches a wasteland of rusted metal and broken roads. A world where survival is the only law. From the dunes, an engine roars, kicking up dust and fury. At the same time, primal claws slice through the sand, hunting with lightning speed. One is a feral predator honed by evolution, claws sharper than steel. The other, a nomad of the wasteland, forged in fire, gasoline, and endless war. Claws meet combustion. This week, it's the cunning hunter, Raptor Blue, versus the Road Warrior. You're a Mad Max! Hello and welcome to another episode of Who Would Win Masters. I am Sam Proof on all of the socials, and today we are presenting another epic battle, but this time it is man versus beast. Yes, I'm talking about Mad Max versus Raptor Blue. Repping Raptor Blue, we have, from the community, someone who sent us a demo, which you can do, and I'll tell you how later on in the show. Eric Heiding, teacher, soccer coach, awesome member of the community. Eric, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing great. I can't believe I'm actually on this. I've been listening to this for probably since like the old show, first few seasons, and always wanted to do this. I thought this was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to get into this with Ray.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so now why did you pick this character?
I've always been a big dinosaur fan. Like, my screen name in high school was Red Dino because I had red hair, and then the dino, I had R-E-D-I-N-O. I got my Jurassic Park hat. I got actually all six, well, now seven movie posters sitting in my basement right now. You can ask my kids. They know I love Jurassic Park and all of them. And when I was a kid, I used to watch the first movie over and over to the point where I knew every single line by heart. I drove my mom and my brother crazy with it.
Nice. I only recently showed that to my kids, and my 10-year-old spent the next day just running around as a dinosaur. So,
oh, I'm sure.
Thanks for that. All right, let's get into the tale of the tape. Today's tale of the tape is brought to you by water. You think you know water? You try drinking a glass of it. Oh, seriously, you should probably drink more water. It's literally the most adult beverage that you can consume. Water. It's the only net positive for your body. This is coffee, which is just brown water. So same diff. All right. So today we have the oddest battle in show history. It is a dinosaur battling a human. Raptor Blue is the main velociraptor in the Jurassic World series of movies. Raptor Blue is a velociraptor and the most intelligent one found in its species. We say most intelligent, but mostly in the series, Raptor Blue displays this intelligence by teaming with Chris Pratt and toppling other dinosaurs, much like my little dinosaur here. But on the other side is not just any human. Max Rakowski, a.k.a. Mad Max, is a legendary survivor in a post-apocalyptic world. Once a police officer, now Max is a lone wanderer roaming the Australian wasteland in search of peace and gas. Speaking of gas, it's time to introduce your opponent for tonight. I am contractually obligated to be 10% kinder to him because his Detroit Lions are not looking too great this year. It is Ray Stakanis. Ray, what do you make of this match?
First off, let me just say, what a terrible, terrible thing that happened last week. I believe that heads should roll. I believe that the season should be canceled after spending two straight years not losing to Green Bay or even really worrying about it. To have it happen in week one makes me very upset. Green Bay is a hated franchise in my household. But as far as this match goes, Mad Max versus Raptor Blue. You know, we have a judge. We have a guest here, Eric, who has been listening to the show for a very, very long time. When we opened up the gates and said, send us your demo, he was right on the ball sending us a demo, and he did very, very well. I'm excited to take on the community. That's why we're here. I'm here to defeat you. And he wanted to use Raptor Blue, which is wild. We've never used like a dinosaur like this before on the show. And I said, who's a fun human we could pair off of him? And we settled on Mad Max Rockatansky. Is that right? Oh my gosh. Nobody knows how to say it. Why did I even put it in here?
Nobody knows.
Rockatansky. That is his name. I did get it right. I don't know what you said earlier, but it was definitely not that. The point I'm trying to make here is that this is going to be a very fun battle. I don't know how Eric is going to approach this. This is a very exciting thing about challenging a bunch of different people instead of the same person every week. You can usually, if you keep going against the same person, you know ahead of time like what points they're going to make. You know their style. I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm very excited, though. I have a winning strategy for Mad Max, and I look forward to bringing it and taking down Raptor Blue.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. This is the most unique battle that we've definitely seen on our show, and I'm curious to see how this goes. Gentlemen, it's time for the rules in under 1 minute. Here are the rules of Who Would Win Masters in 1 minute. There will be 3 timed rounds with counterpoints allowed. 2, characters will have no prior knowledge of their opponent and no outside interference will be allowed. 3, keep the character in character. Outliers and crossovers will be given less weight. 4, battle can be won by death, knockout, battlefield removal, or incapacitation. And 5, after the battle, I will give my unofficial opinion as to who wins and why. However, I am just one voice in this. It will be up to all of you on our social media and our Patreon to make your voices heard as to who won.
All right. And keep in mind, you already have one vote against you, Ray, because Eric is in the community. We have our first point coming up right now. 3 minutes on the clock. Eric, you will start us off, starting now.
All right. Point number one, I've always wanted to say that, by the way. Point number one is that these raptors aren't just your normal raptors. In real life, raptors are about 2 to 3 feet tall. Even in the book, Jurassic Park, they are about 4 to 5 feet tall. Steven Spielberg decided, I want something bigger. He wanted to go as big as he could go. So he went to 6 and about 8 inches tall on these suckers. Now, that's pretty big for a dinosaur. Now, we also have how long they are. From the tip of their nose to the tip of their tail, they are 6 feet long. That is a giant creature coming at you with razor-sharp teeth and claws. Speaking of the teeth, Raptor Blue has 13 to 15 serrated teeth on his top jaw, or on her top jaw. 13 to 15 serrated teeth. That's not just a regular tooth like you and I have. These are big, long teeth, and once they bite into something, you're not going anywhere. It's going to grab you. It's going to hold you and start ripping. Now, they also have claws on, I guess you could call them their hands. They use these claws to grab people and stuff, actually, when they jump through the air. And let's face it, I'll even give you a second. Name one person that's been clawed with them or bit that survived. Here, I'll stop because there isn't anybody. Anybody they've ever bitten, anybody they've ever grabbed, they have destroyed and they have killed. Next thing. Now, this might not sound like you would think it'd be real big, but they have that really long tail. Like I said, they're about 6 feet long. Now, where that tail comes in handy is their speed and their agility. If you ever seen a cheetah run, when they want to change direction real fast, they have that real long straight tail, and all of a sudden it switches to a different direction, and they can switch over and move, change direction. We see this with the raptors. We see this with Blue in particular. In Jurassic World, when they're running with the motorcycle, they are running full speed through the forest. They kind of jump up and down. They move left and right. They are able to diagonal or move whatever they need to. They're extremely agile. Extremely agile. And that tail is actually what helps them do it. Let's talk about how high these things can jump. We've seen it in all the movies, actually. In Jurassic Park 1, the raptor in there jumps up on top of a counter. No problem. It's like jumping on a box. They just jump up on a counter, start walking around. No problem. In The Lost World, let's talk about that real quick. Sarah Harding jumps from one rooftop to the next rooftop, barely making it when she's on one edge to the next edge. A raptor follows.
30 seconds remaining.
Raptor follows real quick, jumps from the back of one roof to the back of the next roof. And so they can get there that far. Real quick, I want to talk about their 6-inch retractable claws on each foot. And they are independently moved. We've seen that in Jurassic Park 1 where they can go click, 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 click. And those suckers are meant to jump, or when they jump on you, they get into you and start ripping you apart. Those 6-inch claws are on each foot, like I said, and are their main weapon. We have seen this multiple times as we see in our logo. They are dangerous with this 6-inch retractable claw. And that is my point number one.
All right, strong start for our prehistoric combatant. Ray, take us down the Fury Road and drive us into point number one for Mad Max.
Wow, Sam, let me tell you right now, jumping on the counter of a kitchen from a standing position, wow, that's something that I used to be able to do when I was in shape in my professional wrestling days. But nobody's trying to argue that I'm as powerful as Raptor Blue, but maybe they should have. Look, if this comes down to a pure claw versus fist battle, I will tell you right now, Mad Max is going to be in trouble. I'm going to talk about Mad Max's physicals in point number one, because I just want you to know this is a guy who can take a hit, take some a few hits, and he'll be okay, but he will get overwhelmed if he tries that approach, which obviously he will not. Physically, Mad Max, he has quality level human strength. I would say above average human strength. He can hold his own in a fight. We've seen him knock people out with one punch before, and we're not talking about, you know, little kids. I mean, that'd be a different movie, but he could punch straight on adults in the face and knock them out. Do I think he could give a right cross to Raptor Blue and knock her unconscious? I do not, but he has enough upper body strength to grab people who jump onto his car while he's driving and throw them off of the car. That's not nothing as far as strength goes. It's obviously not the same level as a 6'8", 7'8" dinosaur, but I do think it's worth mentioning. He is also extremely durable. Mad Max takes a beating in every single one of his films and keeps on going. This is a guy who can survive car wrecks. Basically, we're at a point in Mad Max's life where being involved in something as violent as a car wreck where the car flips like 32 times doesn't bother him anymore. It basically can't even hurt him. I don't know how he has this ability, but Mad Max can be in absolutely hellacious accidents and it just walk away safely every time. That means he has a certain level of durability that if he gets slammed into by Raptor Blue, he's probably going to be fine and get up and be able to keep fighting. Lest we forget, he took an absolute beating for somebody who's a more physical Raptor Blue size Master Blaster when he was in the Thunderdome. He took an absolutely hellacious beating, and he was able to win that fight as well, even though he had the disadvantage of being wrapped in bungee cords. What a weird movie that is. Anyway, the last thing I want to talk about here is his reflexes. He has Jack Burton-esque reflexes, and he has to. Why? Because he's a driver. He's got to be good at being a driver because his life is at stake at all times when he's on the road. His head needs to be on a swivel, and he needs to be aware of his environment and absolutely everything that's coming around him at all times. He's great at dodging. He's dodged crossbow bolts, saw blades, thrown axes, punches. Look, I'm just going to say right now, if this comes down to pure physicality, yes, I think Max is in trouble, but he can at least take a shot before he goes down.
All right, Eric, as our guest, you have a 1 minute counterpoint. 1 minute on the clock, starting now.
My main question is, how many people has Blue eaten? Like humans, we have seen them over and over again where Blue has taken out humans. So the Mad Max is still a human, typical human. Yes, he's been able to get out of some situations, but he's still a human that Blue can take out. Blue has bitten people in cars before. We saw this in Jurassic World when they're chasing the Jeep down and there's raptors also coming out to the sides. They jump at the doors and they claw and bite through there. In Camp Cretaceous, the cartoon series, we see a car get rolled over on top of Blue and she does get help. I will say this. Car gets pushed up, but she is able to survive it and get out. And I hope his head's on a swivel because guess what? The swivel is going to help her because the head's coming off. It's going to swivel so much that she's going to bite and the head's just going to completely off of Mad Max.
All right, strong start. Our dinosaur is looking pretty impressive. Max, obviously a favorite of so many people in the world in general. We'll have to see what happens in point number two after this break.
Mm-hmm. It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
All right, welcome back, folks. Let's get right into point number two and see where this battle takes us. Eric, 3 minutes on the clock for Raptor Blue, starting now.
All right, so let's talk about how smart they actually are. In number one, Jurassic Park, they figured out how to open doors. It's one of the scariest scenes probably in all, like in the early 1990s movies, is when you see the raptor opening the door. They are smart enough to communicate. Like animals usually don't communicate. These can't. We actually see it, and they don't emphasize it, but we see it in Jurassic Park 1 where the raptor comes into the kitchen and then kind of makes that noise, and then the second raptor comes walking in behind it. They really talk about in Jurassic Park 3 when we see the one raptor gets kind of trapped in the corner, and then it gets out and starts bellowing, and then they make that little whistle thingy and just all that kind of thing. We also see it in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom with Blue. Owen or somebody watches flashbacks of when Blue was a little baby and Blue makes a noise and all the other raptors come running around him. So we see Blue actually communicating with the other raptors. We also know that it was communicating with Indominus Rex in that one scene where they all meet it and they start talking back and forth to each other and they're like, oh, humans are, we're in trouble. These raptors, these dinosaurs are also extremely smart, smart enough to make traps. We see this in Jurassic Park 3, where we see the one raptor pretend that it's in a jar, and then all of a sudden she looks at it, and it opens its eye, and it try to jumps up from between them. We also see that in Jurassic Park 3, where they hurt that one guy, the raptor walks up to him, uses his one claw to hurt him even more, keep him still, and Eric and the one lady is like, something's up, something's wrong, and she almost goes for him, he almost gets bit, but Eric knew, like, hey, they set a trap for us, this is not good. They also have been figured out how to, they do hunt in packs. I know Blue is, but we're doing Blue by himself. But they hunt in packs in Lost World, we see this. And they're silent killers. In the Lost World, we see them going through the tall grass. They kill three grown men before before anybody even notices. It's not till the fourth guy who dies that they actually notice, oh, there's something going on. Maybe we need to pay attention to what's happening. We also know that, like I said, Blue is the leader. In the first Jurassic World, we see her as the leader of the four. And they all listen to her, and they are going to do whatever they can. She isn't as deadly as a group as she is by herself.
30 seconds remaining.
We also know that she's very smart by taking the high ground. We see this when she sees Owen for the first time back in Fallen Kingdom. She jumps up onto a car. Now, if we've learned anything from Star Wars, you take the high ground. And Blue has figured that out, that you need to take the high ground. And that's my point number two.
All right, Ray, 3 minutes on the clock for Max, starting now.
Okay, well, you asked the question, how many, we don't know how many people and how many humans that Raptor Blue has killed. Well, actually, we do. Officially, Blue was given credit for 6 kills in Jurassic World, but the 6 people that were killed by Raptor Blue and her pack. So let's give her credit for like 2 of those, all right? In Fallen Kingdom, she legitimately took out 2 of the troops. So we have 2 more. And in Jurassic World Dominion, She only kills one or two more people, but that's in the extended cut of the film, not necessarily the theatrical cut of the film. So the way I see it, she's only got four kills in all the entire trilogy. And I'll tell you right now, I've seen Jason Voorhees do that in the opening scene of a movie. Not as impressive as I suppose I would think. Anyway, let's talk about weapons, because Mad Max is never unarmed. This is going to be the difference. We aren't fighting a fist fight between a dinosaur and a person. Mad Max has weapons. He carries with him a Winchester Model 1912. That's a shotgun with extremely high stopping power. To my understanding, Raptor Blue is a reptile and doesn't have any type of good armor to protect her from close-on shotgun blasts. And Raptor Blue doesn't have any ranged attacks. Raptor Blue's going to have to get up and personal in order to win this fight. Well, it's a huge difference if Mad Max has a shotgun and he knows exactly what's going on. Remember, it's going to be hard. It might be easy for Raptor Blue. The silent killer thing, I think, was a great point. But Mad Max, and why I said it in my point number one, is because he has always got his head on a swivel. He's got great reflexes, and he's always aware of his environment. It's one of the best things he does. He uses, with the Winchester, 12-gauge ammunition with buckshot, which he also has a lack of trigger disconnector. I looked into the weapons of the movie. This allows for something called slam firing, which is basically shooting as fast as he can pump the gun. So he can do the thing that Ash does at the end of the Army of Darkness movie, where he's just repeatedly firing that shotgun into that deadite. Well, Max can do that. He also carries a sawed-off VG Bentley double-barreled shotgun. It's sawed off, so it's not as accurate unless you get really, really close. But guess where Raptor Blue is planning to go? Really, really close. He also carries with him a Vietnam War-era Gerber combat knife, which is a sticking weapon. It's really not used for slicing as much as stabbing. And that's going to be great if he runs out of options. Say somehow Raptor Blue knocks one of the guns out of his hand. He could get in and stab her right in the neck when she's trying to jump on top of him. Absolutely gross, but in a moment of desperation, you got to do what you got to do. And finally, thundersticks, javelin-like weapons with explosive tips. He's used these in multiple movies, typically thrown from a car. You throw it in, it sticks in something, and then explodes. Weapons are the key that Raptor Blue cannot account for, and weapons is how Mad Max will win this fight.
All right, Eric. You have 1 minute for Raptor Blue to counterpoint against those weapons, starting now.
All right. Well, for starters, I'm glad you brought up the kills and everything. That's going to be my next point, so I'll just leave that for that part. And secondly, Blue is not a lizard. Dinosaurs are birds. Let's go on from there. And it's not like Blue hasn't seen guns before. We've seen she has beaten people, mercenaries, who have guns and try to shoot her in Fallen Kingdom when she joins the Indominus Rex and those people are killing. She's seen all these guns before. She knows that. She's seen guns in Dominion 2 where she kills two hunters. And he has a knife. She has a 6-inch retractable claw on each foot. That's like, it reminds me of the saying in, you know, you brought a knife, now here's a knife. It's a 6-inch retractable claw.
All right, good stuff. Bringing out the claws and the guns. We'll see what happens in the final point after this break. All right, welcome back, Eric. It is time for your third and final point of our great debate against man versus beast. We're waiting, one of each of us representing on the judging side. You have 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
All right, so let's do talk about some of the kills that Raptors have brought out. Now, some of these kills are from Raptors previous, but we also know that Blue is kind of like those previous Raptors, but jacked up. So let's look at from even the very first one, Jurassic Park. We killed a gatekeeper, right? We also killed Muldoon, who is a trained hunter. He was brought in to watch the Raptors because he is a trained hunter and he has a hunting background. Killed him. That's the clever girl guy. And sadly, we will just say it, the Raptors have killed Samuel L. Jackson and left one arm, which I say is a foresight to Star Wars because he only has one arm or he had one arm missing. They have killed in the Lost World, large group of mercenaries. These guys were trained. They went in there. They knew what they were doing and they wiped them all out. In Jurassic Park 3, we have a smaller group of mercenaries, but there are still mercenaries. Now, in Jurassic World, we have Vic Hoskins, who is the military guy. He's kind of the overweight or bigger guy that's kind of the military background. They bite and eat him. Now, let's look at exactly who Blue has killed. Blue had help. Now, I'm not saying she did it by herself, but Blue did help kill the Indominus Rex, which stood up more than anybody else. She also, and Camp Cretaceous, which is canon to this story, Camp Cretaceous, she killed the Scorpius Rex. Actually, there was two of them, and she helped kill both of them. She the biggest one. She killed the Indoraptor in Fallen Kingdom. That was, think about, an Indoraptor, which is a mutation of a mutation. The Indoraptor was a combination of the Indominus Rex and another raptor. So we got so many mutations going on there, and she took them out. We also see her at the end of Fallen Kingdom, running towards the suburbs of California, so you know she had some game banners or something in there. I mean, she's going towards California, a city. You never know what's going to happen there. We then see her in Nevada in the mountains, so we know that she's probably taking on some of those creatures. And we know for sure that she killed two hunters in Dominion when they were trying to take her baby Beta. So we have seen her kill or been part of a kill, and many times. These raptors are not some small little creatures that just run around and do whatever. They are killing machines. That's what they were here for. That's why they were made. That's why they were so important.
That's remaining.
That's why they were so important in Jurassic World with the one military guy, because they could be trained killing machines. And we have seen her kill many times throughout the series in the cartoons and in the Jurassic World series.
All right, Ray, it is time for your third and final point. 3 minutes on the clock for Max, starting now.
You know, I think that Eric, being a newcomer, made a mistake. I think that his point number three was not as big as it could have been, and I'll tell you why. He spent the first minute talking about what other raptors have done, not the character he's representing, other raptors in other movies. That's like me trying to, you know, represent Mad Max by saying, well, a human in this Jason movie named Jason actually murdered a bunch of people, so he should get credit for things that other humans have done. I don't think that's a great argument. He also argued the Indominus Rex argument, which I am here to shred, because if you're giving Raptor Blue credit for killing Indominus Rex in a group team battle with that many characters, you're basically saying that Mantis from the Guardians of the Galaxy is the one who killed Thanos and should get credit for it at the end of Avengers Endgame. That doesn't hold up. So I believe that I have a very open field here to talk about the car, because Mad Max always is driving a car. He's got shotguns and he's got a car. That's two things I know about Mad Max. I'm not even going to talk about the dog because it wasn't as prevalent as I wished it was. But Mad Max's car is an iconic black V8 Interceptor. It's known as the Pursuit Special. It's a heavily modified 1973 Ford Falcon XB GT Coupe. And yes, I had to look it up. I do not know cars. Even though I'm from Detroit, I don't know what half of those words mean, but I know it means something. And it's been modified. It's been modified in the post-apocalyptia for both speed, armor, and fuel. So he can go long distances. He can go very, very fast when he needs to. And it's armored up to deal with the wasteland denizens that are always trying to kill him. In fact, this is called the last of the V8s. The V8, even I know, is a very powerful engine and something strong. Did you know one thing that happened to Raptor Blue in Jurassic World Dominion? Poachers ambushed Blue and ran into Blue with their truck in order to try to capture her daughter, Beta. Now, were they ultimately successful? No. Was Raptor Blue knocked out for a brief moment? Absolutely. So I will say right now, Raptor Blue couldn't even keep up with the speed of Owen Grady, Chris Pratt's character, who was riding a motorcycle. Had a lot of trouble keeping up with a, not a speed motorcycle. Not one of those ones that'll get you in trouble if you're an NFL player. A basic, normal motorcycle. So as far as speed goes, all Mad Max got to do is get into his armored car with his shotgun, drive it around with his insane driving skills that he has, ram into Blue, get out, finish her off with a shotgun blast to the head, and that's going to be all she wrote.
All right. Strong point three. Eric, you have 1 minute to counterpoint, starting now.
Oh, I got a lot of stuff to counterpoint. So for one thing, blue is an increased version of the other Raptors. That's why I brought up the other Raptors, because that's like the base form of her. She is that plus so much more. That's why we brought that up. The Indominus Rex, yes, you're right. She did have a team, but no person or no anything else that went up against the Indominus Rex or even survived more than, what, 10 seconds? And she was able to stay in there. You just said that blue got run into by a truck and she survived. She can strong enough to survive being hit by a vehicle. And you also talked about Owen. She couldn't stay up with him when he's on a motorcycle, but she was at that moment felt Owen was her leader and had to stay with the pack. So she wasn't going to go in front of her leader. She stayed behind him. So that way she is staying with the pack. I look at the car as this way. The car is used for one thing and one thing only, to run away from Raptor Blue and to take him out of the scenario and take him out of the fight. And that's the only reason why he's going to do it. Because as soon as he sees Raptor Blue, he's going to go dinosaur and run away in that car. And then that wins.
All right. And always, since Ray did not get counterpoints throughout our rounds, he gets his final thoughts whenever he's ready.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest that I have to take my counterpoints in the middle of my other points. And that makes this whole thing a lot more difficult for me. But at least I get a moment here at the end to set the record straight. I think Eric came out and did a very, very good job as a first timer repping Raptor Blue. But at the end of the day, again, this is not a simple street fight between a dinosaur and a regular human. The regular human is armed to the teeth, has the best technology that he fully understands because he modified the car himself, if I remember this correctly. And he's going to have vehicles. He's going to have every single thing out of a G.I. Joe playbook, quite honestly. And I love that fact for Mad Max. He's a survivor, and he's a guy who wins. He's a guy who gets through tough situations over and over again. Raptor Blue, in most of the Raptor Blue encounters, tends to have some sort of an advantage coming in, whether people don't know where she is, people underestimate her. I guarantee Mad Max, not underestimating a 6'7" dinosaur standing in his way and knowing he has to take it out in order to keep going. The runaway thing, we try not to even worry about that because Mad Max is here to fight. We're positing these two characters are going to have a fight, and Mad Max cheats. Mad Max does not play by the rules. He will have no problem with the sawed-off shotgun holding it behind his back where Raptor Blue can't see it. Let Raptor Blue get close, and then, right in the nose, and Raptor Blue's going to go down. Will one shot of Bugshot take down Raptor Blue? No. But we established one of those shotguns is one of the ones where you could just keep pumping it over and over again, and Mad Max is not going to make the mistake of only shooting Blue once and walking away. You shoot that thing till you can't see it anymore, till you can't recognize what it even was, and Mad Max is going to use his car, his smarts, and his guns and win this fight.
Made. Two figures met in collision. Now let's find out who would win. It's time to hear Sam's decision.
All right, guys, this was an absolutely insane matchup. And like, honestly, when Ray sent me this, I had a very preconceived notion, which is not normal. Usually these things on the paper, I'm like, I don't know. This time I was like, this seems like a very solid prehistoric win for our first bestial combatant. But I got to say that both of our debaters brought out great points with Raptor Blue's kill scores, intelligence, and durability. And on the other side, seemed like the incredible underdog. But as Ray said, I mean, obviously in a fist-to-claw match, this would be no match. But Max has the guns. I'm going to discount the combat knife because let's face it, when that comes out, I think it's game over already. But, you know, all of the weapons and the guns and the iconic interceptor might just be the thing that levels the playing field or levels Raptor Blue. Eric did a great job as a first-time debater on the show, and I do think he relied a little too much on battles that played into pack tactics. But to shift gears,
the thought that Mad Max makes a snap decision to drive full speed into a giant lizard, jump out, and unleash his own personal Fury Road on the creature is the only possible win for Max. If he can pull himself out of the wreckage faster than Raptor Blue rises up. And I wanted to hear Eric come back with a defense to this insane plan, and I don't think I heard one, but I do have to say that the true clever girl of this match was Eric with Raptor Blue, because it is only in that 1% decision that Max could have won. I'm sorry, Ray. Yet again, I have to go the other way. Eric, again, you did a great job. This was insane. I've never seen us have anything quite like this, and I'm not sure I want to see it again. do you actually have a final thought on Raptor Blue facing her 20-mile-per-hour car heading, you know, straight for her?
I still think that Raptor Blue can get around it. I didn't bring up the point, but in the first movie, again, we talk about base. They can run 65 miles an hour. I know you just said 120, which is a little faster, but 65. But Blue can also, like, literally turn on a dime. So if a car is coming right at him, either she's going to turn and move to the side and get from the side type thing, or she's going to jump over it, because we talked about how well she can jump over it. Then the car is going to probably stop, and that one or that couple seconds of stopping is going to allow Raptor or allow Blue jump into the window or something like that and go from.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. Can people find you online? Do you want to put anything out there?
Yeah. Basically, it's just Eric Heiting, E-R-I-C, period, H-E-I-T-I-N-G. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. A lot of my stuff is either my family or, you know, my soccer team on the X. But you can always contact me. And like I said, I would like to get into voice acting. So, hey, if you need a voice actor, I am very free. So let me know.
All right, Ray, I hate to vote against Mad Max. He is one of my childhood favorites. Do you have any final thoughts on this, aside from just yelling at me?
Yeah, my final thought is I think this is the time that people finally disagree with you. I believe I handled all of the Raptor Blue points. I believe you're right. He relied too heavily on pack tactics. And keep it real, Max will use the car. You say, oh, Raptor Blue will just dodge out of the way. Well, in the scenario in the movie with Raptor Blue, Raptor Blue didn't just dodge out of the way. Raptor Blue got hit square on with the vehicle. And also, you know, you say, oh, he's Raptor Blue's battled people with guns before. Yeah, they were nameless mercenary thugs, not Mad Max. Mad Max is a different kettle of fish. And I think that the shotgun and the fact that Raptor Blue has to close the distance to make this work, I don't think, because of how Mad Max always has his head on a swivel, he's going to get caught by surprise by Raptor Blue's attack, which means that we're talking a full shotgun full of buckshot repeatedly blown into Raptor Blue, a widespread, not a rifle where Raptor Blue could dodge easier. You can't dodge a shotgun as well as you could dodge a hunting rifle, especially one with a tranquilizer dart in it. Mad Max obviously wins this battle exactly in the way that I said. You say, oh, that's the only way. No, those are just avenues to victory that obviously Mad Max would have access to and use. You make Mad Max sound like a random, faceless mercenary thug from the Jurassic World movies that Raptor Blue needed an extended cut to even deal with. What are we talking about right now? People at home, you're going to go on patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and you're going to vote for me and Mad Max, and we're going to set this one right.
Nope.
All right. Obviously, this debate can go on forever, but we have to pull the plug somewhere. So thank you for listening. And yes, please absolutely make your voices heard on our social media and Patreon. Keep that debate going at Facebook and Threads, and vote. Go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Tune in next week as Ray and I go over your votes and your comments on this battle. I'll personally apologize to the Mad Max franchise, potentially. We'll see. And if you think you've got what it takes to sit in Eric's chair, you do know what he did. Send us a 1-minute video demo of yourself at whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. And who knows, maybe we'll have you on the show in the future. For Who Would Win Masters, I am Sam Proof. Stay strong.
it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you want to wow party guests with your expansive knowledge of folklore and weird historical tales? Or maybe scare your friends with some good old-fashioned ghost stories? If so, you're in the right place.
Welcome, everybody, to your new favorite spooky podcast, Live, Laugh, Lore. I'm Caroline, and this is my partner in crime and all things creepy, Emily. Together, we're your guides through the world of the weird, the wacky, and the downright terrifying.
Each week, we'll take you on a wild ride through haunted houses, ancient myths, and urban legends that'll make your skin crawl.
Plus, we add our own unhinged commentary to keep you laughing through each spine-tingling tale. So, whether you're a skeptic or a believer, tune in to Live, Laugh, Lore every Thursday for a podcast that's as chilling as it is hilarious.
Because who says you can't giggle at a ghost or chuckle at a chupacabra? So go ahead and subscribe and give us a listen today wherever you get your podcasts. You won't want to miss a single episode.
Grab a drink, get cozy, and let's get spooky. Bye! Bye.
This is Ray back one more time, and there is a 1 in 2 chance that I'm very happy with the results of this past episode. One more reminder that if you'd like to join in with the Legion of Audience, you can go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and support what we do. That's it. That's the message. Time to start my research on next week's battle. I'll see you there.
Emoji moment from Sadie, who writes, "I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy." Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Ammit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.